I think it's a remarkable pace that we're seeing right now of that evolution. I think that we crossed in the past year a certain tipping point with these, you know, LLMs and open source models. And I think, you know, when we look specifically at Vimeo, and our DNA is kind of that creator community, you know, that's a, like, we're going for, that's what we built Vimeo on. And I think it'll continue to inspire a new generation of creators.
I'm Boaz, founder and CEO of Simply Augmented, and I'm excited that you're tuning into Shift AI, a show that explores what it takes to thrive and adapt to the changing workplace in the digital age of remote work and AI. In today's episode, I'm thrilled to have Zohar Dayan as our guest. Zohar is SVP of Product at Vimeo and one of the leaders at the company working on AI and its application to video creation. If you're someone interested in multimodal AI and the way that video creation is changing and adapting to this new world, you will love this episode. It's great to have Zohar on our podcast, and we can't wait to learn more from him. Let's get to it. All right, Zohar, thank you for joining. I really appreciate having you on the show today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to get into this. I have been using your product for a very long time, and so I know that things are changing quite a bit, but we're going to get into that today. But first, as always, I like to go through and read your background so everyone knows your background. You'll tell me if you got it right, and then we'll dive in. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
So you grew up in the States, but moved to Israel as a young kid and went through the army, went through university, but were always really into technology. When you got out of school, what was the first company that you started with when you got out of school?
Wibbitz. I actually started when I was in college still.
Oh my gosh. So Wibbitz was started when you were in college, grew that company. I want to hear more about it, but it sounds like text to video was a thing that was on your mind when you were running that company, which was really prescient. Now text to video is something that is everybody's talking about. So that was pretty early. So that's very, very interesting. So CEO and founder of Wibbitz. And then from there, that was purchased by Vimeo, where now today you're the SVP of product and now GM at Vimeo as well. Is that true? Or is your title VP now?
Yeah, I'm SVP of product and I'm the GM of our Israel office. You know, we have a pretty significant team there, over 100 Vimeans based out of Israel. And the fact that we had, you know, our R&D center in Israel and I was living in New York, it kind of made sense to kind of have me, you know, be in that function and kind of connect the teams, which are mostly product, engineering, design, and functions like that, to kind of the business side.
What did I miss along the way in terms of the resume? Did I get everything right? Was it pretty close? Or was there anything that I missed?
No, you're pretty close.
I mean, dying to hear about both Wibbitz and about Vimeo, because I want to understand the link between the two. But before that, what was the first job that you did that you actually got paid? And I'm assuming that was in Israel.
It was in Israel, and it was actually my own stuff. So when I started to learn how to code when I was about 13 or 14 years old, I started with kind of websites and HTML and JavaScript. Along the way, I learned how to do kind of, you know, dabble in graphic design and animation. So I really had all the skills to kind of, you know, build websites for people. So that's kind of how I started. And I think that's the first job I got paid for, is to build a website. So I really kind of wanted to have a meaningful army service. I was very motivated to serve. And so I actually took a break from all the tech stuff during the army. So I only had about 2 weeks between high school and going into the army. And I actually was a paratrooper medic for 3 years.
Yeah. During school, when you started at Wibbitz, can you talk just a little bit about those early years and kind of how that played out? What was on your mind at that time? And what were you getting excited about? Because we're in 2009. Is that?
So, you know, it was all born in school. And I got accepted to an entrepreneurship program, which is pretty well known in the Israel kind of tech scene, with a lot of companies that were born in that program. It's called the Zelle Entrepreneurship Program, which is funded by Sam Zelle, which actually recently passed away. But his work has been remarkable with that program. And essentially, in that program, your entire last year of school, you're building your own business. So any course or any class that you have, you're actually applying it to your business. Wibbitz was the idea that I had as part of that program. And the whole idea was essentially to enable anybody, no matter what their background or experience is, to create high quality, professional looking videos, including all the kind of graphics and text animations and branding and stuff like that. And again, to your point, this is going back to 2009. Things looked very different back then, you know, in the technology world in general, and the, you know, devices that we use, the platforms that we use, and also kind of where video in general was back then. If you remember, that was kind of like the early days of, you know, smartphones and, you know, the iPhone. Things still weren't as optimized for web or for mobile web experience as they are today. And one of the ideas behind kind of the automating video was the idea that, you know, anybody can watch video of anything instead of having to read an article, for example. So that's kind of where the slogan, the text to video, that was the tagline of Whibbitz. And that's where it started from.
Were your parents into technology too? Was it part of the family, or were you kind of the lone wolf when it came to coding?
No, it's not. It doesn't run in the family, but I think entrepreneurship and creativity definitely do, which I think are very important foundations, at least for me as being an entrepreneur and, you know, being in tech. My dad actually was a low tech entrepreneur. He had car washes. And my mom was very much into the art world. So, you know, I think definitely had a lot
kind of a mix
from that. Yeah.
So kind of lead me to the acquisition. You guys were building this company. And eventually it gets bought by Vimeo. But what was happening during that time? And then let's talk more about the transition and what's happening now at Vimeo.
So I think, you know, before getting into the actual acquisition, it's important to kind of think about, you know, the landscape and how it evolved throughout the years. So again, going back to 2009, we had this idea to automate video creation and to essentially lower the barriers of entry to video for anybody to get started with it. Back then, we saw that there was a huge need for more video content, especially from media companies and kind of news websites. You know, they had the bulk of the content living there. Most people used to go to those websites to consume that content. And based on the revenue model that these websites had, which is ad-based, essentially an article that had a video on it would be instantly worth much more in terms of ad dollars. So essentially, brands were becoming media companies, you know, creating articles and content and videos and social media posts and events and webinars and stuff like that, which, you know, our product was very much suited to, but it was very interesting to see that evolution in the market. Also to remind you that social media platforms were also evolving a lot throughout those years. You know, in 2009, I don't even think there was video in the Facebook. Once they introduced it, they quickly started to prioritize video content in the feed. So that kind of created even more need in the market from both publishers and brands to create that content to show up on people's feeds, because if you weren't creating it, you were essentially not prioritized and you wouldn't even show up.
And now with Instagram and TikTok, I mean, it's hard to even imagine there not being video on the web.
Exactly. Everything today is video first. You know, we're all very much used to the way videos kind of show up in social media platforms with the large text on screen. You know, the reason that happened in the first place was, you know, initially Facebook started prioritizing videos. Then they started auto-playing videos in the feed. People got annoyed that it was making sound when it was auto-playing. So they started auto-playing on mute. And that required people to put these big, you know, text captions on the videos so people can watch them and follow the story without having to turn the audio on when they're, you know, scrolling through their Facebook feed in at work or whatever. So it's interesting to see how that influenced things. And of course, Snapchat with vertical video, which we're all very much used to today. It's kind of like become almost it's the standard. But, you know, before 2015 or 2014, that was a big no-no in the video world to shoot video in vertical format.
So I have a question for you. I mean, this last year must have been funny for you in the kind of video world, because now everybody has a text-to-video option, or at least everybody's thinking about ways of automating that kind of content using AI. At that time, I mean, you weren't using AI. You had different automations that were making that happen, and you were grabbing, you were scraping and grabbing and doing different things with the content. So maybe talk a little bit about that, because, I mean, using large language models is not the only way to automate, you know, video feeds. So can you speak to that a little bit on the technical side?
Yeah. So at Wibbitz, we incorporated both AI and machine learning and various other automation methods. And the idea was really to try and create something out of nothing. I think it's slightly different than the type of, you know, generative AI that we're seeing today, which is actually generating the actual visuals, whether it's the images or the videos. But I think it's a remarkable pace that we're seeing right now of that evolution. I think that we, you know, we crossed in the past year a certain tipping point with these, you know, LLMs and open source models that really enable, you know, I wish these tools were available to us when we were building Wibbitz, because it would make our lives so much easier. But I think it's really exciting because, you know, the amount of innovation and new companies that are going to, that are starting already and are going to continue being built is really, really cool. And I think, you know, when we look specifically at Vimeo, you know, our core and our DNA is kind of that creator community, you know, that's a, like what we're going for. That's what we built Vimeo on. And I think it'll continue to inspire a new generation of creators.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me your take on AI. I mean, it's been such a crazy year. There's been so much going on. Where do you see this going? You must be excited about it. And then maybe we can talk about that in the context of what Vimeo is doing with AI, because I know that you guys have a product that has incorporated AI directly into Vimeo. And it's funny because I've been using Vimeo for such a long time, and it's such a great tool. I'm really interested to know how it's going to be extended and what's happening internally.
Yeah, I'm really excited about how it's going to help redefine what creativity and originality is. You know, there's only, you know, a certain amount of points like that, I think, in recent history, that it's really going to, you know, create a big paradigm shift in how content is created and what defines creativity. This is one of those seismic shifts, I think, in the market. With that, I'm also very concerned with, you know, how powerful these technologies can be, and, you know, and as much as they can do really good and awesome things and inspire people, they can also do a lot of bad things. And unfortunately, I think we're going to have to deal with the consequences of that. I think it's going to be very, very challenging. When we talk about Vimeo specifically, you know, it's also interesting to see that evolution. Like I said before, Vimeo started with filmmakers, with content creators, with creative professionals, and kind of evolved. And I think that, you know, it's very clear that the Vimeo of today is very different than the Vimeo of 10 years ago, which was, you know, back then it was primarily a hosting platform, and, you know, the best highest quality player you have out there. And I think those are still true today. But on top of that, we created a whole stack of different tools for anybody that's using a video as part of their business to be successful at it and to really simplify video. Because often people think of video as being something very complex and hard to do. And if you didn't kind of go to film school or learn how to kind of edit a video, then it's not for you. And we're trying to prove that that's not the case. And we saw that, you know, initially was the creators, then similar to what we saw at Wibbitz, it was brands and small businesses that started getting into video and learning the benefits and value of it. And today it's all the way up to, you know, big corporations and enterprise companies. You know, today, you know, nearly all of the Fortune 500 companies use Vimeo as part of their video strategy. And the way we see it, beyond hosting and our top-notch video player, it's everything from creating videos, editing videos, video recording, screen capturing, interactive video, live streaming, and live events for things like webinars or even internal communications like town halls, and the ability to collaborate on video, whether it's through all of our different collaboration tools, team management, analytics, and so forth. When it comes to connecting Vimeo and AI, we're doing really awesome things with it. I think it's super exciting to me as a product person. AI is not completely new at Vimeo. Obviously, we've been utilizing AI for several years now, but obviously today it's at a much, much higher pace. Just this last summer, we launched our one take video creation suite, which essentially leans much more into those AI capabilities. And I think it's very much connected also to what we were talking about before, which is the future of work. Obviously, everybody is much more distributed today, and we see a much bigger need for creating video content. One of the most common video formats that we see is talk to camera videos. So whether it's recording a message, whether it's internal or external to my team, or something maybe more promotional, or walking through a presentation or a product launch or something like that, could be even for training material. Then we launched as part of this our Vimeo Record Studio. So you can start a new recording with Vimeo. You can capture your webcam. You can share your screen. You can capture both your webcam and your screen at the same time. And it's all about building that confidence with people, because again, like video, intimidating, and especially to get on camera and talk, a lot of people, it's a big hurdle for them to cross. So as part of this, we try to create as many tools as possible to build up that confidence. So when you get into the Record Studio, one of the things that you can immediately start using is the AI script generator. We all have that writer's block or blank canvas problem where we kind of, we don't know where to start really. You can ask the AI to kind of get you started. So I can say, hey, I want to write a message to my team to thank them for a successful Q4 and kind of give a look ahead for Q1. And I can choose my tone if I want it to be funny or casual or confident, if I want it to be short, medium, or long. And within a few seconds, I have a ready script that I can use as a starting point. And that's really the goal, for it to be a starting point, and for you to kind of tweak it and personalize it in the way you see fit. The next thing in building that confidence as part of that Record Studio is our smart teleprompter. So that script that you either wrote or was generated by AI, you can now open in a teleprompter that you can position in a strategic place on your screen that's close to the camera, that's gonna look like you have eye contact with the viewers. And again, it's part of that building that confidence. And it's, again, using AI and speech recognition there as well, as opposed to traditional teleprompters that you need to set a certain scroll speed. This teleprompter scrolls as you speak. So it's identifying what you're saying, and it's going to scroll at your pace. Which brings me to the next part of the one-take video creation, which I think is the most exciting part. We all mess up when we record, especially if it's a longer content, and we all say a lot of, especially I do, a lot of ums and ahs when I speak. So once you finish the recording, we transcribe all the video, all the speech, and you can open that video in our text-based video editor. So essentially, you have the entire transcript of the video. You see a preview of the video on the right side, and essentially, it enables anybody to edit video just like they would edit a Word document. So if you know how to edit a Word document, you can edit this video. And if there was something that you said, whether it's a word, a sentence, a paragraph that you want to remove from your video, you just highlight that piece of text, click delete, and it deletes it from your video. And you can do fun things like automating a lot of that editing, like removing those ums and ahs and awkward pauses or quiet moments in the video with a click of a button, and it really cleans it up and literally takes a process that would take hours for a professional to do to bring it down to minutes, and that anybody can do it.
So cool.
So all of that is part of the one take video creation, which enables anybody to create, record, and edit video all in one take.
Yeah, it's so interesting to think about because I feel this pain all the time too when I'm doing promotional stuff or, you know, trying to get TikTok videos. And it is intimidating to have to be on camera for a lot of people. But it's also intimidating to think about what these should look like for these different mediums. You know, what should the closed captioning look like for TikTok? What should the closed captioning look like for, you know, something else? And being able to do all of that and get the editing tight so it feels professional, it's very, very intimidating. And so it's cool to know that there are, you know, editing tools, but also kind of accentuating overlays and, you know, templates and all sorts of other things to just make it easy and make you go fast. So tell me a little bit about where you see things going in the future. What are you most excited about in terms of product? What can you share in regards to your product roadmap as you kind of look off into the future? And one of the reasons why I ask is that so much of last year was about text. It was about ChatGPT and all the exciting things that was happening when people were prompting and getting amazing text results. It seems like this year is going to be more multimodal. It's going to be about images, extending all the stuff that was happening with Midjourney, but it's also going to be a big part about video. And so I just wonder, someone that's been in this for so long, what do you think about? What gets you excited? What brings you energy?
Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of the audio visual things are going to continue to be in focus, especially for us at Vimeo. So we really want to lean in more into video creation and video editing and leveraging AI as part of that process. So we have tons of plans around that. But I think even, you know, more exciting is how we consume content. You know, we're you know, our goal is to enable more people to create content. More people are going to consume content. But how do we make video consumption even better and more engaging and more productive by leveraging AI?
Yeah, tell me more about that. Is that in discovery? Where do you think about that?
We're actively working on a variety of different things that are going to make video consumption, video viewing much more efficient. Because, you know, even when we're talking about, you know, video at work, and we have, you know, Vimeo is not just used in the creative and marketing space, it's also used for company communication. We use Vimeo internally at Vimeo to replace meetings. So we record, you know, video messages to one another. We record, you know, walkthroughs of presentations or trainings, and we record all of our meetings that are saved into kind of like this knowledge base or video library that is indexable, it's searchable. You know, you have your layer of security on there. But at the end of the day, who wants to watch a 1 hour long recording of a meeting or me walking through a presentation? So the idea is really to extract as much information as possible from the video, whether it's through what was said, what was shown, and kind of create this new dimension of video that's not really just linear. You know, imagine you'd be able to ask the video questions and get a response and jump to the right moment in that video. So those are all stuff that we're actively thinking about and exploring. And I think it's super exciting. If you think about it today, like, I think the average attention span is about 8.2 seconds. And so if you want somebody to really, you know, engage with your content, whether it's, again, for external marketing purposes or internal purposes, you want them to be able to get an idea of what's in that video in the quickest way possible.
I love that. You know, we've had some other folks on the show that are working on meeting solutions and thinking about ways of chopping those meetings up so that they're easier to consume. And that just, I love that you guys are thinking about that. And that's the direction that you're going, because it just makes a ton of sense. And, you know, when you think about how much time we spend on video since the pandemic, it's just, it's incredible. And, you know, that's how we consume our internal knowledge base in a lot of ways. And so it's really interesting to hear you say that. The last question I have for you is the one I always ask, but if you were to describe the future of work in two words, what would those two words be? And then you can elaborate.
Two words. I would say human connection. You know, there is obviously a lot of debate and a lot of companies working remote and employees, many employees not wanting to go back, at least not full time, to the office. I think that fostering human connections is really important. And it's something that both companies and employees shouldn't lose sight of, you know, especially I think at the startup stage, it's so important to get to know the people that you're working with. You know, there's kind of inspiration and sense of belonging and mission that everybody's a part of that can get lost in a remote world. I think if it's not in person, it's finding the right tools to make sure that that human connection is being maintained as much as possible.
I love that sentiment. I feel the same way. You know, the pandemic did a lot of things to a lot of companies, big and small. And I'm one of those people that likes to have direct connection with other humans. And video is a great way to do that if you can't be in the room with them. So I really appreciate that sentiment. And I really, really had a great time talking to you today. Appreciate you being on the show. So thank you for joining us on Shift AI.
Yeah, same here. Thank you very much for having me.
That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. Such a pleasure to have Zohar as our guest on today's episode. Zohar's knowledge and experience of AI and ML and how it's changing the way creative communities explore video is fascinating. If you want to learn more about Zohar, you can find him on LinkedIn and Twitter. Definitely connect with him to keep up with his posts and activities online. I continue to be amazed by the guests we've had on our show, and I'm excited about the ones joining us in the near future. I truly appreciate you spending time with us. The Shift AI podcast is produced and sponsored by Simply Augmented and distributed by GeekWire. Our theme music was created by Dave Angel.